Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 28 is our text setting. On the brink of blessing. Studying this message this week and so excited about preaching the message. And then something tragic happened. Brittany, one of our little gals here at our church, who brought so much joy. Maybe some of you did not hear it, and maybe I should tell you. She was walking her bicycle across a crosswalk, and she had the green light. On Route 20, the truck did not have the green light. He had the red light. And he flew through that red light and struck her and killed her. Tragic, tragic situation. I thought to myself, now that's going to be very difficult for me to get up there on a Sunday morning. Lord, I don't know if I've got the right message. On the brink of blessing? And that tragedy just happened this weekend? The more I thought about that, the more I contemplated that, the more I realized how appropriate it really is. Do you realize, everyone, this morning that everybody here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, are on the brink of blessing? And death is a blessing? We sorrow not as those who have no hope. We have hope. We're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And everybody in this room needs to understand something this morning. If you're not ready to meet God, death is a horrible situation. But if you know God, and you might say before this service is over, preacher, how can I know God? I'm going to give an altar service in just a moment. And you can know God. And you can leave this place knowing 100% for sure that if you died, you'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus. You may be facing a tremendous decision this morning. One that could affect the rest of your life. It may be a spiritual challenge where God is telling you to step out by faith and trust Him. Or it may be a matter of asking Him to provide wisdom for a very distressful situation. No matter how imposing your situation appears, remember that everything affecting your life involves our God. Everything. Now, there are times when we wonder, and I know, we're all there. Why, God? Why, God, would you allow certain trials to come that have hit my life? Trials that touch my life. We question sometimes the judgment of God in leading us along an apparently dry and spiritually narrow path. God, why would you lead me in this very dry path or this very narrow path that I'm facing? Why would you allow this to happen to me when we could be basking in the goodness of His comfort? However, ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening to me today by radio and here in the auditorium, may I tell you that God has a plan. And His plan is always the best. Amen. God has a plan in His mind. And we can be sure that there is nothing that's going to happen to us without Him knowing. Do you know that God knows it all? And He knows every detail of your life. Many times we are standing on the brink of blessing. Even though all that surrounds us seems very dark, very confusing, very frustrating. And you may be this morning, somebody in this room, many somebodies, may be in that very position right now. You can sense God working prodding you to step out by faith and trust him for your future. But at the same time, everything seems to be at an impasse. I just can't get through this situation. Preacher, I understand what you're saying, but I just am at an impasse. Now, don't despair this morning. God wants you to go through the hard times with him in the same way you go through the times of peace and joy. I have five Roman numerals I want to give you very quickly, please. Titling the message, On the Brink of Blessing. Where are you this morning? Where are you standing? Is there something going on in your life that you're saying to yourself, wow, I'm at an impasse. I don't know what to do. Let me help you this morning. Number one, God has placed the land before us. One of the ways we find out how committed we are, I think, to God is to allow him to have full reign in our lives. Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to trust him even when there seems to be no way through a problem? There's where you've got to get. I'm willing to trust God even when there seems like there is no way for me to have this problem solved. There is always a time of obedience when obedience takes root before God unleashes his blessings. This lesson became real to the nation of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. Moses had chosen 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan, you know the story, and bring back a report concerning the land and its occupants. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13. It'll be on the screen if you can't turn to it in your Bible quickly enough. It says, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. But I want you to notice something in the writing here. In Numbers 13:2, God makes a very critical statement. And here's a critical statement. God had already given Israel the land. Do you see that statement in that particular verse? Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give, not I will give, he already gave it to them, which I give unto the children of Israel. God had already given them the land. Now, there are some things in your life, and I understand this in my own life, there are some things that I have to trust God that God's already given me. All I have to do is reach out and take it. Right. It's up to me to reach out. It's up to me to reach out and take that because God has already given it to me. Right. Now, the world and everybody else is going to tell me it didn't happen that way, and God's not going to give that to you. You have to do this and do this and do this. No, God said, I give you the land. So, here in Numbers 13, verse 2, God makes a very crucial statement. He had already given Israel the land even before the spies had suited up and headed out. Now, this was an opportunity now for Israel then to trust him, to step out in faith and claim God's goodness and God's provision. God had already given it to them. Now, let's look at verse 25 through 28, Numbers 13, 25 through 28. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, Nevertheless, here's where the problem comes in. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Suddenly, they became fearful. Now, Roman numeral 1 was simply this. God has placed the land before us. It's so simple. Ladies and gentlemen, God has placed the land for your faith to grow, and he's got that land in front of you. What are you going to do with it? God has already given you the land. So Roman numeral number 2, just moving very quickly. God wants us to step out in faith. Now God's given you the land. Now he wants you to step out in faith. God wanted the people to claim what was theirs according to the promise. He made hundreds of years that promise to Abraham. Yet the spies and their negative report quenched the goodness of God's blessing. And it brought fear. But there were two men, only two men, Joshua and Caleb, that believed that God would deliver the land. And that God would deliver the enemies of that land into the hands of the Israelites. Each time God places a decision before us, we must consider the consequences of our choices. Israel didn't consider. And every man, now listen to this very closely, every man at the age of 20 and upwards and older, except for Joshua and Caleb, they all, everybody, listen, they died in the wilderness. Now, God had already given them the land. Amen? But instead of those men going into that land, I want to show you the verses of Scripture found in Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And I don't think, Don, I have that back there, do I? Great. All right. I want you to see this because this just spoke to me. You see, most people make decisions based on the present and not the future. They ask themselves, what will satisfy me now? Well, I've been talking to so many people, and everybody wants to have fun today. That's what I hear all the time. I don't like the restrictions of a church. I don't like the rules and the regulations. I want to have fun, preacher, in life. I just want to have, and I said to them, but it's fun to serve God. Come on, church, we got a whole bunch of folks listening to the radio. I said, it's fun to serve the Lord. I don't know where people are today. Why, it's not fun to go to church. I think it's fun to go to church. I love to sing the songs. I love to preach. I love to hear somebody preach. I love to sing. I love to magnify. I like to shake hands. I like to smile. I think it's great to go to church. I think it's fun. I love it. But people tell me all the time, I just want to live life, Pastor. I can't live life going to church. It just blows me out of the water. I don't understand that. But most people make decisions based on the present. They ask themselves, what will satisfy me now? Or what is the easiest way to accomplish this goal? Now, there are crucial questions you need to ask yourself each time you are faced, I think, with important decisions. If I make this decision, how is this decision going to affect my relationship, first of all, with the Lord Jesus Christ? If I make this decision, how is that going to affect my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember now, we are children of God. How is that going to affect my relationship with the Lord Jesus? I think that's one of the first things I ought to ask myself. And then how will this affect the people around me, like my wife or my husband or my children or my friends or my coworkers? What are the future consequences of the decision I'm about to make going to create? Now, it's a fallacy to think that the decisions you make do not affect other people. The decisions you make, sir, will affect other people. Come on, amen? Now, the consequences of Israel's disobedience were very, very grave. Let me read it for you. Now, follow me on the screen, please. This is verse 26 through 33. Take a little time to read what the Bible says. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fallacy to think that the decisions you make do not affect others. They made terrible consequences for the rest of Israel. The consequences of Israel's disobedience were grave. One generation of men lost their lives and lost an opportunity to experience a tremendous blessing. Every time you make a decision, it will affect somebody else besides you. It affected all of Israel. And those people who had the land, let me ask you a question. Had God told them that they had the land? They had the land, but the evil report came back. Yeah, the land flows with milk and honey. In other words, it's rich. And boy, the pomegranates and the grapes are huge. And everything is great. But there are giants in the land. And fortified cities. And oh, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. They failed to believe God. You be careful. We get in the same mode ourselves in life. I just can't believe God. Roman numeral 3, write this one down, please. I said God has placed the land before us. God wants us to step out in faith, and trusting God then leads to blessings. There'll be times when you don't understand where God is leading. I'll guarantee you that. You know, I prayed for Dan and Aaron a lot. They sacrificed and came from a good ministry where they were, to a ministry that they don't know too much about yet, but they're learning. And they're a gracious young couple, beautiful child, but they stepped out by faith. And they're not getting all kinds of money. They're never going to be rich. But they want to do something for God. That speaks to me. And God's going to bless them because of that. But that takes a step of faith. When Alan Holmes came here, 5 years ago, that was a step of faith. When different ones work in the ministry here, it's a step of faith. Christian school teachers, today it's a step of faith. Everybody has to step out by faith. And God wants us to. But trusting God leads to blessings. He may allow us to have glimpses of the overall plan, but the method, the means of getting there is often something he keeps to himself. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29 and just watch how God works. Because he says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God will reveal some things to you beforehand. Other times it will be a matter of waiting and trusting him for the outcome. However, when God provides clear direction as he did here in Israel's day, I think we must step out in faith and follow God's lead. We've got to. God's not obligated, folks. God's not obligated to provide all the details to us. He simply wants us to follow step by step in obedience. If you refuse to move forward until you can see the whole picture, you'll stay where you are. And before long, you'll risk spiritual stagnation. You have got to have the eye of faith. You've got to be able to step out. You've got to say, I don't see the answer, but I know we can do it. I know we can. Let's get it done. Let's do it. This year was a trial of my faith again for the Christian school. But you know, God is supplying. You'll hear the report tonight. We're getting more students every week. Isn't that wonderful? And we're getting the students that we need in which to operate. Now, there's a bunch of gainsayers that said, yeah, they'll never get it done. They'll never do it. They said that about the radio station. They said that about the bus routes. They said that about the Christian school. They said that about everything. Listen, you can't listen to the gainsayers and the doubters and the disbelievers. You got to trust God. We're on the brink of blessing. Could it be this year may be the best year we've ever had in the Christian school and in the Harvest Baptist Temple? Are we on that brink of that blessing? I mean, right here we are, and we're about ready to fall off, it seems, but yet God says, I'm going to bless them indeed. Woo, glory. Now, don't get me all excited. But I'm thinking about some things. I'm wondering if we're on the brink of something great getting ready to happen. We could very well be. The Lord wants us to walk by faith. Do you believe that? And not by sight. Sight and feelings are hindrances to believing and trusting God. He wants us to believe in Him, to follow Him in obedience, which may mean stepping out in places we have never stepped out before. We may have to this year step out in places where we've never stepped out before. Hey, and if God goes with us, it's okay. Amen. If God goes with us, it's okay. As long as you have God, that's all you need. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Man back there preaching with me. Number four, Satan always tries to detour us. Are you listening this morning? Now, something's in your life, and you're about on the brink of blessing. You're thinking things are going to fall apart for your life. But you may be on the brink of blessing. Maybe you don't see it, but God does. Satan, however, always tries to detour us. Every time you stand on the brink of blessing, Satan will try to discourage you because he knows he cannot touch. Listen, the devil cannot touch the eternal destiny of the believer. I said somebody needs to say amen to that. The devil cannot touch the eternal destiny of the believer. In other words, the devil cannot. He cannot. He's not big enough to take my salvation. He can't do that. I'm saved, born again. I know it. And so are you, and you know it. And the old devil cannot take that from you. But you know what he would like to take from you? Your usefulness. The devil would just love to take from you your ability to be used of God. He'll try to every conceivable way to render you useless before God. Satan often offers us a detour, not around God's will, not a Mott detour. This is a devil detour. We kid Brother Mott all the time about Mott's detours. We go with Brother Mott someplace, and he'll say, hey, we ought to go this way. This is a shorter way to go. It may be in the future, but it hadn't been since. I laugh with them up because this is no kidding. Nicole got on the internet and was talking about her husband saying when they took their trip on vacation, it was so cute that he wanted to go this direction because it was going to save 4 minutes. That sounds like us guys, doesn't it? Sweetheart, we're going to save 4 minutes. Whoopee. 4 whole minutes we're going to save. She said it didn't save 4 minutes. We were 2 hours or something, whatever it was. But hey, that's what the devil does, doesn't he? I want you to take this detour. This is going to be better for you. It's a detour around God's will. His schemes are always attractive, by the way. Less demanding, requiring less faith. They appear much more reasonable than the way God has chosen us to travel. We think we ought to go that way. Sadly, people make the wrong decision. And I'm sorry, folks, but lots of folks have made wrong decisions in marriage. Business, vocation. Because right at the brink of a blessing, Satan offered them a substitute for God's best. And they took it. I'm not trying to get back to my personal life, but I love my little lady. And she's my ministry. Without her, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, and I know that. I love my little lady. But just before we got married, there was a girl I had dated for almost 3 years who nearly tripped me up to forget marrying her and marry her. I'm so glad I didn't get tripped up. I'm so glad that I married that lady. But if you're not careful, young people, you'll be enthralled with looks and with tenderness, with kindness, and you just may miss God's will for your life. You make sure you date the people that you're comfortable about marrying. I wouldn't let my kids date somebody who wasn't a Christian. I don't think you have any business dating anybody who drinks. You get a guy smoking and cussing and swearing and carrying on, you're going to end up with problems. The devil will detour you around the will of God, though. I promise you he will. Satan offers them a substitute for God's best, and we take it. Another thing we must do in trusting God is to ask him to give us a spiritual discernment against all negative counsel. Except for the witness of Joshua and Caleb, do you realize this? The report of the spies that they brought back to Moses and the nation of Israel, that whole thing was negative that they brought back. They did not view the promised land from God's perspective. There's a tremendous difference between godly counsel and negative influence. Negative thoughts are self-centered, not God-centered. And last, number five, God has his best in mind for you. Whoo, boy, that's good. God has his best in mind for everyone in this room. God is committed to you. He really is, and he wants you to have his best. He never gives up. I don't think he ever gives up on us. And he'll repeatedly move you out of your comfort zone where you will be forced at times to place your entire trust in him. It's amazing. Many people have trusted God to save them, and yet they refuse to trust him to guide them day by day. Listen, if your God can save you from going to a devil's hell, he can lead you every single day of your life. If he's got the ability to save your soul, he's got the ability to direct your life. He does. Musicians are coming, and I'm closing quickly. You can't reject God's call to faith and expect him to shower you with blessings after blessings. God's blessings come as a result of obedience to his purpose, his plan, his principles. That means at some point I must follow God completely. Certain things are essential for God to work in our lives. For one, our hearts must be right before him. That means we want what he wants. I'm going to trust him to complete the good work that he's begun in my life. God, I want you to show me what you're doing in my life. Remember, God may not give you all the details. Now remember this. But he will do, what he will do is give you encouragement to trust him no matter what you face. Now listen, somebody here may be on the brink of blessing. The promised land has the blessings. But those spies came back with an ugly report. And everybody believed the spies. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able to. Let's go, guys. We can do it. But the other spies were so powerful and so negative that they convinced the whole crowd, no, we can't do it. And they suffered. And all those of 20 years of age and upward did not ever get to see, go into the promised land because they failed to believe. You're on the brink of a blessing somewhere in your life. I'm not sure what it is. But whatever God has placed before you, there is a blessing hidden there within. Will you trust him? Will you trust him this morning to show you the way? Father, I'm coming this morning. I'm going to come to this altar, and I'm going to say to God, God, show me. I want to trust you. I want to take that step of faith. I'm stepping out. It could be a job. It could be financial situations. It could be loving somebody that you're having a difficult time with. It could be a relationship problem. I don't know. But you know you're on the brink of a blessing. Maybe you're here and you're so close to getting saved. And the old devil is saying to you right now, you don't need to go up there and get saved. You don't need that. And God's trying to woo you and draw you to an altar of prayer. Listen to God. He wants to save you. He wants the best for you. You're here this morning and maybe you're having an interpersonal relationship problem with somebody. And I just need to get that cleared up. The devil said, you don't need to clear that up. You're so close to the blessing. You're on the brink of blessing. Don't let the devil win another battle. You're on the brink of a blessing. Step from your seat this morning. Come to this altar. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let somebody know, I need to get saved today. I want to trust the Lord as my personal Savior. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I just want God to direct me, preacher. I want God's best for me. I'm on the brink of a blessing. Don't walk out of here without God touching your soul. Let's stand together, shall we? Everybody, our heads are bowed.